Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Jesus, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we can be just getting close to that point where we can meet face to face, where we can, see the 3D person and just interact and bring your presence into this space in a completely new and fresh way, Lord God. Jesus, I just pray your blessing over everyone here in the room and everyone online, Lord. Just that your presence will be just touching each person, opening up, revealing things to them, just opening their eyes and their hearts to what you want to do for them today, where you want to take them. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, we have been continuing all year with our reading of the Gospels, and just trying to work out, how do we do this thing of following Jesus? How do we be his disciples? And this week is huge. It's I've got my little October card. You know, we were looking at just all of that point, that 24 hours or less leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. Those intense hours, those intense struggles of between people and conversations and just harshness. And I look at that and I go, I don't ever think I'm ever going to go through anything like that. What has this got for me? How do I follow this Jesus when what he's just going through, what he's gone through in that space of time just seems completely beyond me and completely beyond anything I can even relate to. And I know that all around the world that there are people going through these struggles. There are people that are having to come close to what Jesus did. But that's not the context of my world or Bathurst or even Australia. We're in a different space. So what does it have to say to me? How do I follow Jesus in that space? And then the other reading we're doing was from James 4, and we looked at a little bit of this in Wednesday Night Live. And as I kind of was looking at James 4, suddenly I could see stuff in the life of Jesus, in what Jesus went through, that made sense to me and related to me. And I love it how you can take two seemingly random bits of the Bible, like we didn't plan for James 4 to line up with this at all, but you can take these two bits, different bits in the Bible, and suddenly they start talking to each other. They interrelate and they bounce off each other, and that becomes really exciting. And so we're going to take a closer look just to that first part of James chapter 4 and see how Jesus so beautifully leads the way in getting right what James is talking about. That is how to draw closer to God. Now, James was mostly likely writing to like Christians scattered around the place, and people that were trying to realign their worldview. They'd grown up a certain way and they were trying to readjust things to follow Jesus, to live like Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do. That's us. We're trying to realign our thinking, no matter what background we've come from, we're actually trying to realign it to Jesus, not culture, not anything else, but Jesus. But James is quite to the point. He's rebuking, but he's also encouraging. Because, you know, he kind of comes to him and says, look, there is no better way. Oh, sorry, there is a better way. There is a better way to how you're living right now. It's like right now you're struggling, right now you're fighting, right now you're kind of just jostling with each other and trying to understand things. And often that's coming out in tensions amongst you. But there's a better way. And so he begins with a rebuke. James 4 verses 1 and 2, he says, what is causing these quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? The Message version just says, he says, they come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. Ouch. He's a bit harsh. Like he's taking hold of these Christians who are, you know, transformed people in Jesus, who have decided to give their heart to Jesus and, you know, are they supposed to be perfect? Well, that's kind of what we all want. When we jump into this life with Jesus, we want to suddenly get it all right and to do it all perfectly and be good Christians. But it doesn't always happen that way, because deep inside of us, there's battles going on. There's selfish desires. There's, you know, we still just want what we want. And James has seen that coming out in the Christians around him and that he's connected with. You know, they've got different perspectives on things. They've got different ideas about maybe the way that the gospel, the way Jesus is understood. They've got different ways of expressing it, maybe depending on their culture, maybe depending on all sorts of things. And they're fighting, they're quarrelling, they're getting on each other's nerves. And James just says, like, this is just not on. It's enough. Because that's not the way of Jesus. For his followers to be arguing about the right way, that's not what it's about. And he says it's coming about because we are just selfish. We are spoiled children wanting our own way, and James is bold enough to call it out. He's bold enough to name it for what it is. In fact, he says that, you know, our aim is only to enjoy the world, and we can't be a friend of God when we do that. I kind of thought, oh, wow. So I can't enjoy what's around me? I can't, like, I'm not a friend of God when I enjoy my life, my garden, no, I don't think that's what he's talking about. You know, he says that God is a jealous God, but his jealousy is such that he's longing for us to connect with him. He's longing for us to be faithful to him. Says, for the spirit that he made has made to dwell in us. You see, deep inside of us, when we decided to follow Jesus, he put his spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. And it's this spirit that's kind of doing this tussle now, a tussle with who we have been, with this spirit of God that longs for us to be completely united and connected with God, to love him above all else. So James encourages us in verse 8, 8 and 10 in chapter 4. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Bow down before the Lord and admit our dependence on him. Saying there's only one way out of all these battles. There's only one way out of this mess that's going on inside of us that then has outworking in other things. It's to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's to bow down before him and admit our dependence on him. Now, we do have battles, like we do. constant. Well, I do anyway. I don't know about you. But some of those battles, they might involve other people. You know, it might be that we've been hurt by someone. It might be that we're battling with their perspective on things and the way they view the world or the way they do things. But some of them involve just us. They involve our perceptions of things. They involve our habits. They involve our cultural and our family background and the way we've been brought up. And those things are, you know, often just clashing with the way God looks at the world. And they're battles because when God touches us, when his ways intersect with ours, they don't always slot in nicely. In fact, I find they often don't. You know, even when we might see ourselves as a Christian, even when we might have been brought up as a Christian, we can find that something doesn't line up with his ways, with the spirit that he's put inside of us. You know, I grew up in a church. I grew up praying. I grew up surrounded by Christian friends and people and reading my Bible. And I'd like to say I was a good person. That's what I thought. I was a good Christian. And I didn't really do anything wrong. Maybe my parents would say differently, but that's the way I felt. But, you know, I got to this point where God actually intercepted my life. He cut through somehow. And when that happened, I started having battles. Like, battles started stirring inside of me. You see, there was so much inside of me that didn't actually put God first, even sometimes in the guise of Christianity, even where I might have said, but that's a Christian thing to do, it wasn't actually putting God first. And so what can I do? What can I do when my mind and my heart is kind of torn and just can't work itself out? How do I fight these battles? How do I sort them out? And, of course, Jesus is our best place. Like, that's the goal of what we're doing, is to follow Jesus, to find out how would he do these things. And when we read through our gospel passages this week, Matthew, Mark and Luke, John kind of leaves this one out. When we read through those events of Jesus in the garden, I suddenly see that there's little things, even though the intensity might be different, there's still things in there that I can learn from. Now, following the supper in the upper room, Jesus and his disciples, they go to an olive grove. In Mark chapter 14, he relates this story. It says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter and James and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus is getting closer to that point where everything's going to collide, and he knows it. He knows that that time is drawing near, and so internally he's getting crushed. The grief is coming over him for multiple reasons. The grief of the world, of what he's about to release it from. The grief of his friends. There's all sorts of things going on in his world, in his mind. And so he grabs some of his friends and he says, just come with me. I need to deal with some stuff. And friends are really good. I love friends. And when we're doing battle with stuff, they can be an incredible support. But they can also disappoint us. they can let us down, and they don't support us as much as we want them to, or in the way we want them to. Like even back in the Old Testament, Job has this problem with his friends. You know, they're trying to be there for him, but they're not on the same wavelength. And Jesus found this same problem, that even though these guys were so dear to him, and he grabbed them and said, please come a little bit closer with me. And he went further and prayed, and he asked them to, you know, to pray. But Jesus went on a little bit further, because he knew that as good as friends are and as much a support that they can be, he did know that they can let you down. But more than that, he knew that what he faced, he could only face with God. It was between him and God only. It had to be dealt with God alone. And that awful hour's about to come. And as a man, that man part of Jesus, he did not want to face it. I don't know anyone that would want to face that as a man, as a person. Because he understood the enormity of what he was doing. And as a man, he didn't want that. But he battled with what, as a man, he would want, with what that divine heart that he had wanted. Because he also was God. And so inside of him is man battling with God, with what should happen. His divine heart wanted God's will, wanted God's way, wanted God's sacrifice. But his man wanted to bail. And that's what is happening in our world too. When we get that little part of God, that Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us, these battles start rising up, and we discover that the things that are in us are battling with something else now. And so sometimes I might be having a bad day and feeling alone and things are going wrong, and I just do not feel loved. I can't see anyone, everyone's against me, things are going wrong and I don't feel loved. But deep down, there's this little thing that goes, but God loves you. And so those two are kind of like tugging at each other. Which one's going to be loudest? Or something really bad has happened in my world and I'm hurting. It's been bitter and hard and I'm hurting. And I want to hold that hurt because I feel like I'm punishing the person who hurt me. But then there's the Spirit of God that just whispers, forgive. And so I just, no, how do I do this? I can't forgive them as myself, but the Spirit of God rising up inside of me is encouraging a different way. You know, sometimes we look at money and we go, money's my security. I have to work hard. I have to get the best job. I have to make sure that money, you know, sets out my life and it looks like I've got success. But then that little Spirit of God, well, it's not that little, rises up inside of us and goes, you know, give generously. When we're faced with a situation of need, and so we fight. It was like, have I got enough? Can I do that? Can I afford to give? And we're fighting with those things. And like Jesus, you know, invites his friends to stand with him in his battles, we can do that too. And they can be really helpful. They can walk with us. They can support us. They can pray for us. Sometimes they can give us advice. Sometimes it's great to listen to, but when it comes down right at the end, it's actually only God that's going to give the right advice, that's going to say the right things, that is really going to be with us the whole way. And Peter, James and John, they cared really deeply for Jesus. And I was reflecting on this and wondering why John didn't put it in his accounts. He didn't write this story. And I wonder, is it because it made him feel sad that he hadn't been able to stay awake and stay on task? That all Jesus asked him to do was stay awake and pray, and he fell asleep. But Jesus still loved them. He cared for them. He didn't judge them on that. Even asleep, there was still a comfort there. And I think that's important for us to remember, that sometimes our friends are going to get it wrong, but they're still our friends. So what Jesus did instead was he drew near to God. He went alone and he drew near to God. He poured out his heart. He was completely honest. He said to God, "I don't actually want to do this." You know, in heaven it sounded like a great idea, but right now it's not. I don't want to do this. But in that drawing close to God, he let God draw near to him. He let God come and speak into him. He let his spirit rise up and connect. And he bowed down to God. He bowed down before the Lord and he admitted his dependence on God. He knew that in himself as a man, he couldn't do this. He needed to bow down to God. And that might do our head in, you know, God bowing down to God. But that's what he did. He laid down his will and he won that battle because he could say, "Abba, Father," he cried out in Mark 14, verse 36, "Everything is possible for you." He said, "Please take this cup of suffering from me, yet I want your will, not mine." That's a complete and utter bowing down to God. And he could only do that because he drew so close to him that he knew that God's will would prevail and win, and it was the right way. He finished his time in prayer. He got up from that and he was no longer torn and in anguish. We see not one ounce of that from that time forward. Now he was focused and he was determined. He was ready to go forward and he said enough to his disciples, "The time has come." It's like he put his foot down and he said, "Right, battle's won, let's go." Jesus has shown us the way that we can do it. Like if he could overcome that battle, which is far bigger than anything that we're ever going to go through, we can do that too. No matter what things are going on in our mind, what's going on in our head, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, anything, we can win that battle when we draw near to God. And it might seem a bit lonely when the friends don't kind of hang in there with us and they forget to call us and to see how we're going, or the stuff that, you know, so-called friends on media are posting is not helpful, and we draw ourselves away from that because we just need to be with God on it. It might seem lonely, but that's okay to put down all those other things, to put those influences aside and to just spend time with God, to just talk with God, to draw near to him, because then he will draw near to you and you won't be lonely. And at first it might be silence and you think, am I going mad? Is God really there? But as you learn to quiet and all the other noises around, you'll actually start being able to hear another thing. And it's the heart of God inside of you beating. It's the heart of God just speaking his love for you. It's the heart of God who's starting to share his will for you. But you can only really hear it when you're alone with him. It's this thing that will give you strength and focus to step forward and to say, I want your will to be done, not mine. Take me out of the picture. Let's go. You see, our battles really are within us. No matter what we might think is going on the outside, it's actually inside of us that the real battle's going on. And the best way to fight them is to follow the example of Jesus, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So this week, like that's our, you know, continual question. What can I do this week? What's one thing I can put in place to step forward in my walk with Jesus, to shift something in my walk with Jesus? And so this is what I would suggest. I say plan one way to draw near to God, just one. Start with one way that you can draw near to him. Is it that you need to find a location? That you know, space in at home or anywhere is busy and you need a location that you can set yourself separate to connect with God? Is it that you actually need to make time, a space? You know, even starting with 5 minutes, everyone has 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Is it that you could shift one thing and remove a distraction? Is there something that distracts you every morning when you wake up? Is it, you know, you pick up your phone. It's like, just don't do it. Like one thing that could shift something in your world that enables you to draw near to God. That's what I challenge you this week with, to find that one thing. And so as we just start closing now, I want you to close your eyes as well, and I want you to think over your world and think over the battles that there might be, or, you know, the way that you meet with God or try to meet with God, and just have a think about, what's one thing I could change so that this battle can be won? What's one thing I can do? Isn't that doing yourself a favor by connecting with God so he can walk this with you? That you don't have to fight it alone and get tangled up in everything. But actually, you can step forward with strength and focus, knowing that the battle is won because it's been won in here. If you need to connect with God for the first time, however, that also starts with a prayer. If you're finding that you haven't quite made that first connection, that you feel like God hasn't quite intercepted your world, that even though you might have grown up culturally as a Christian or, in different ways, that God hasn't actually interrupted that and intercepted that. That starts with a prayer. And as for me, it increased battles. It may do so for you too. But that's the start of then walking with God, walking with him, hearing his heartbeat, knowing his will, and following Jesus. If you want to do that today, if you want that shift to happen in your world, if you want God to intercept your life, it starts with a prayer like this. And you can join me in praying this right now. And after the service, love to connect with you, whether that's in the lobby on Altar Live or whether that's through an email, just that you would connect to say, yes, this is, I've done this. We just pray, we talk to God and we say, we're sorry, we want to follow Him. And it goes like this, it says, dear God, I want to follow Jesus. I ask you to come and show me how to do life. I'm sorry I've been doing life on my own. Make me your child. Help me follow you. Thank you, God, for loving me. Amen. And that's the first step in drawing close to God. And He will draw close to you.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.